This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now remember, we're always looking for new affiliate radio stations.
Right now, we're letting stations run it for free.
If your radio station would like to run Rock School, call KSLU at 985-549-2330 and ask for Todd.
He'll know what to do.
You bet. Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
The good thing about him, as was pointed out by our guest Richard Sheffield, he's an organ donor.
Oh, he's not all bad.
That nullifies the crime. May have stolen all this musical equipment, but if I need a kidney,
that's right.
That is my guy.
He's big enough, he might have three kidneys.
Look at him.
He's a very large man.
He looks like a brute.
Class is in.
It's the Rock School Radio Show, now broadcasting in 3D sound. Make sure you put on your glasses to make sure you get the most out of this radio show. My name is Joe Burns, broadcasting from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University, where I happen to be a professor. Sitting to my immediate right today, we're in a new studio. What's your name, kiddo?
Chad P.
And today is a special show, not only because we have a special guest, but because this is our 260th show.
Not that we're keeping track.
I am keeping track, but do the mathematics. How many years have we been broadcasting this show now?
Cinco!
Five years we have been doing this show.
They haven't kicked us out yet.
No, and they may not kick us out again. Why? Because we fill 2 good hours every week, or at least average hours every week.
I guess.
That's hard to do on a radio show. So Congratulations, young man.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure working with you.
Yeah,
we
believe it or not.
We haven't killed one another yet.
Believe it or not, I got 25 more shows literally racked and ready to go. So we may get to 6 years, believe it or not.
You only got 25?
That's it.
Wow.
I have to actually start thinking this through.
You really need to
get on the
start
stick.
Working better.
Let me introduce to you the listening audience, someone who has come in via Skype. This is Richard. Richard is joining us from, where are you coming from?
Atlanta, GA.
Atlanta, Georgia. But we're not talking about Atlanta, Richard. Richard, tell us what your last name is. Sheffield, right?
Richard,
your last name?
That's right.
Richard.
Yeah.
Richard is a fan of the show. He joined us on Facebook. By the way, search Rock School Radio Show on Facebook. Richard is not going to talk about Hotlanta, however. What are you talking about today, Richard?
Well, I suggested a show idea to Joe, and Joe bit at it, which is enthusiastically embraced by me as well, which is going to be the Athens, Georgia music scene.
Right, and I thought it was really neat. And I don't know anything about Athens. The only thing I've done in Georgia is I flew into Atlanta to present a paper at a conference and then flew out. I was there a grand total of 36 hours.
Yeah, so I didn't even know Athens had a music scene.
Well,
how much I know.
When you think about Athens, there is one group that I guess jumps out at you. And what group would that be there, Richard?
I'd say R.E.M.
Yeah, that's the one that jumps out. Now, you sent me a playlist, and I gathered up the music. So what we're going to do is we're going to play R.E.M., and if the audience out there is thinking, Athens, you know, of all places, Athens, why does anybody care about Athens, and why are we not talking about Atlanta? We're going to take the hour, we're going to talk to Richard, and he's going to explain to us why I was so excited about talking about Athens, Georgia, and all of the good things about this little college town, which has put out more great music than you can believe. So we'll be back in just a minute celebrating 5 years with our first Skype guest. And, you know, this thing takes off. If this turkey flies, we may do more of this kind of stuff. So, Richard, stay with us for the hour. Chad, hit the button. Here's R.E.M. Sidewinder sleeps tonight.
Rocks. Yo.
R.E.M. from Automatic for the People here on Rock School. Richard Sheffield joining us via Skype on our 260th show, our 5-year anniversary. Go ahead, Richard. Tell us about REM. Why such the band out of Georgia?
Well, when you think Athens, you have to think REM. Three of the four students started school at the University of Georgia, which is based in Athens. It is the nation's first state-chartered institution, so you will find that to be a common theme, that a lot of these bands end up coming out of the school.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, you've got Michael Stipe meets a guy named Peter Buck, who happens to be working in a record store, which is still there to this day, selling vinyl records called Wuck Street's Records.
What's the name of it again? You dropped out.
Wuck Street Records. The two of them meet together. They decide to form a band, and that really kind of kicks off REM as they start to make and write music together. They end up playing and living in an abandoned church and practicing together as a group, playing their first show April 5th, 1980 at a friend's birthday party. Now, REM ends up starting out by driving around and playing, as you would imagine, bands in different clubs all around the Southeast. And as they work out eventually towards a record deal, Bill Berry, who plays drums for the band, turns to a friend of his he had met named Ian Copeland while he was working at a particular agency or a talent agency in Macon, Georgia. Bill knew him from that job and calls up Ian, introduces his band REM to him, and Ian thinks that they have something going. So he reaches out to his brother, Miles Copeland, who runs a record company called IRS Records, and they eventually end up signing their first record deal with IRS.
Okay, I know the name Copeland. I think I know where this is going.
Me too.
Yeah, go ahead.
They happen to have a famous brother named Stuart, who
knew
also plays drums.
For who?
In The Police.
Yeah, The Police.
So anyway, it's sort of an interesting tie-in, I think, to one of probably the most significant bands of the 1980s in The Police, and probably when turns out to be one of the largest bands coming out of the 80s, out of Athens, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Now, you mentioned one quick fact is on Automatic for the People, people often wonder where the name of that album came from.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a soul food restaurant in Athens that you can go to still to this day, run by a guy named Dexter Weaver, or Weaver D, as people know him. And what Weaver does, in fact, when I was in school there, he catered my fraternity house.
Huh.
His slogan is Automatic for the People. So whenever you would ask Weaver for something, hey, Weaver, have any hot sauce? Automatic for the people. And that's how he would respond. His restaurant is still there today. If you ever visit Athens, I'd recommend you go by and grab some soul food.
No kidding.
So one of the things that you know, people think of, again, with Athens is REM. And you can't, though, really look at them as being the trailblazers. There's one group that people say, oh, really? Athens, Georgia? And it was the first group to come out of the 1970s, a band that really plowed the pathway that everyone else traveled down. A small band of five good friends named the B-52s.
Okay, let's take a moment and play the B-52s. I got one here called Private Idaho. And when we come back out, we are going to talk about the B-52s because I don't think of the B-52s coming out of Georgia.
I didn't think of REM coming out of Georgia.
Well, we're going to play them. Here's a Private Idaho. And when we get back, we'll talk about how, because I spoke with Richard before the show, and he talked about how B-52s literally blazed the trail for other bands coming out of Athens, Georgia. Here are the B-52s right here in Rock School. You're living in your own private Idaho here on Rock School. Now, the B-52s, you said, were literal trailblazers. It was the reason kind of Athens got shoved onto the map, huh?
Well, the B-52s are a really interesting story because at that point, not only do you have really no music scene of note. I mean, there has been some Athens music scene at that point, but mostly country-type stuff that's come out of there, like Whispering Bill Anderson from the 60s and 70s that come out of Athens.
I like him.
But really, the B-52s really are starting out where you've got five friends who come together, mostly are students at University of Georgia. They move in. Kate Pearson, who is one of the female leads, actually moves there on a farm outside of Athens and meets up with these different guys and gals who want to put together a band. So they really start coming out of, interestingly enough, sort of the glam rock, cross-dressing, gay scene in Athens at that point, and all meet up in different ways. So they start out by playing a Valentine's Day party in February 14th, 1977. They write six songs for the show. They play in a house, which unfortunately eventually was torn down to make room for a flower shop expansion, which was built next door, which is a shame. But they play these six songs over and over and over again through the night and really take off. What's unique about the B-52s, too, is the sound they had. You're talking about the late 70s when people were listening to maybe the Allman Brothers in Georgia, but the B-52s clearly have a much different, much more unique sound. They get noticed quickly, not only in Athens and not only locally in Georgia, but also up in New York City and the club scene up there. And they get signed to play clubs like the CBGB's Club. They eventually start looking for some help in trying to put together a record contract, and they end up being introduced to Gary Kurfürst, who is managing the Talking Heads. And he takes them over and eventually signs them up to sign on Warner Brothers. A lot of their songs talk about Athens, and even though the band still to this day is in Athens quite a bit and even have a few homes in Athens, the band still moved up to New York and at that point really put Athens on the map when they relocated. So every band that came behind them would say, oh, you're from Athens. That's where the Bees are from. So we'll give you a shot. Peter Buck, in fact, later says that if you were from Athens, it could oftentimes get you a first gig. Although, if you weren't any good, you'd never get the second one.
That's true.
So the B-52s are the band that really started the whole movement for everyone and put Athens music
now
in everyone's earpiece.
Now, Richard, let me ask you. We've played two that people know, REM and the B-52s. Now, the rest of these, I know some of them, but there's one here that you went on and on about called Pylon. I don't know Pylon. I want to play Pylon because you would not shut up about Pylon. Who is Pylon? Let us play them.
Well, those that know me would say I don't shut up normally anyway,
yeah,
but
true.
Pylon is a band which came right after the B-52s. I mean, literally almost the same year. And they're really the second group that comes out of the Athens music scene and starts playing up and down the East Coast. They're a band that really is named after literally pylons that were at a DuPont plant that was located in Athens at the time. And some of the people that had started the band end up really, really focusing on the music. They were loved and adored by the Athens, if you will, the art scene or the art crowd, because they were so tight on their vocals, so tight on their music, and really put a lot of effort into making sure the music was solid, which I think it is. So I wanted everyone to hear Pylon. The song that we've got for you, Crazy, actually was covered by REM on a movie that came out about the Athens music scene in 1986 called Athens, Georgia, Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
That really prompted people to say, wow, you know, love that song. I didn't know REM had released it. Well, they hadn't. It actually was a Pylon song that REM was covering. And Peter Buck, again, from REM, had called Pylon the greatest band on the planet. So I think it's worth the Rock School audience hearing them and making judgment for themselves.
All right, let's do it. This song's called Crazy, Pylon, here on Rock School. Rock School playing Crazy from Pylon. Now, I'd listened to that song two or three times before the show got underway, and I like it a lot. I like Pylon a lot. Problem is, I couldn't get a whole lot of Pylon. It was a fight to find them, which is too bad because they're good enough. They should be out there more. Now, we're talking with Richard Sheffield, who is in Georgia right now. He is Skyping in on this, our fifth anniversary show. You, Richard, while you and I spoke on the phone before the show, you went on and on about what's known as the 40-watt club in Athens, Georgia, sort of their CBGBs, and Pylon has a connection to it. Tell us about the 40-watt club.
Well, anyone that ever has the chance to stop by Athens really needs to go by the 40-watt club because it's really where everything began on the club scene. In fact, Curtis Crow, who was the drummer for Pylon, starts this club with Bill Tabor, and they end up moving downtown, literally out of a house in the metro Athens area, if there is such a thing, and move up to the third floor of just an absolutely beat up place. And they decide to live there in this loft apartment and end up opening a club upstairs. They try to name the club. And in fact, Bill turns to Curtis and says, you know, this is just about a blankety blank 40 watt club, as he looks up at the light bulb hanging from the ceiling that illuminates this loft.
Yeah.
And that's where they get the name from. So the 40 Watt Club opens up in 1983 and really becomes a scene where all the different bands are able to play over the years. Added to that, you've got other clubs like Georgia Theater, which opens up in 1978 after being converted from an old movie theater. That place hosted groups like The Police, B.B. King, Muddy Waters. They all played there. Other groups could play at the clubs like the Uptown Lounge or Tyron's O.C. or Allen's or Rockfish Palace. So you've got all these different clubs in town, and they all really kind of go back and tip their cap to the 40 Watt Club, who's made the most of it all.
Okay, great. So when you get into Athens, Georgia, make sure you hit the 40 Watt Club. Let's do it one more time for our fifth year. Thanks a lot to KLSU running the radio show. Who else listens to us, Chad?
KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. I hear down there they got a 50-watt club.
They do.
But I heard.
They had a bigger bulb. That's all it was. Catch us on Facebook.
Luminance. Yeah.
Catch us on Facebook the same way Richard did. And who knows, maybe you'll be able to Skype in if you come up with a decent enough topic. And we got to take a break. Back in a minute here on Rock School.
Hey, I got a question for Richard right quick about the 40 Watt Club. You say it's still down there. We can go. So I could go to Athens, Georgia and go hang out at the 40 Watt Club and catch some live bands.
Absolutely, Chad. In fact, I think what you'll be looking at is probably a $3 cover charge for you at least. When the club first opened up, as students headed upstairs to go to the club, there was a sign placed there that said $2 admission, $3 for geeks. So you'd end up having the students parade up there, and they would say, you're $2. You're $2. Oh, you're a geek. You're $3.
So I have to pay $3? Why are you laughing? You'd have to pay $3, too, Poindexter. You got a tie on.
I'll pay $6.
That's right. It'll be $6 for both of us.
One more out of Athens, Georgia. Another one that Richard said was a monster. This is Widespread Panic. Ain't Life Grand? To get us to the bottom of the hour right here in Rock School. Life Grand, Widespread Panic here on Rock School, getting us to the bottom of the hour. Tell us a couple facts about Widespread Panic before we do 7 days and 70 seconds there, Richard.
Think these guys are popular? They've sold out 35 shows at Red Rocks and 17 at Phillips Arena in Atlanta, setting records for both venues. And when they released their Light Fuse Getaway album in downtown Athens, it drew up to 100,000 fans, making
really?
It probably the largest release party ever.
A couple of people know about them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break here from the Athens, Georgia back and forth and see if we can't get Richard to join us on 7 days and 70 seconds on these dates, March 26th all the way through April 1st. My name is Joe Burns. You are?
Chad B.
And we got, again, Richard Sheffield, who's joining us. Because we got three people this time around, I will start it. March 26, 1965, it was announced that Jeff Beck would take Eric Clapton's place within the Yardbirds.
March 27, 1987, the band U2 filmed their video for Where the Streets Have No Name on top of a rooftop in Los Angeles.
March 28, 1976, Genesis begins its first North American tour without Peter Gabriel. Phil Collins was the new lead singer. Interestingly enough, on the same date in 1996, Phil Collins announced he was leaving Genesis to concentrate on a solo career.
March 29, 1973, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show appeared on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Well, a drawing of them, at least.
March 30, 1967, the cover of the Beatles album Sgt. Pepper was staged and photographed.
March 31, 1967, Jimi Hendrix began his first British tour with Cat Stevens.
And the one that's going to break my heart, April 1, 1985, David Lee Roth announces he's leaving Van Halen to pursue a solo career.
Because it happened on April 1st, you probably thought it was an April Fool's joke. Huh?
Everybody thought it was an April Fool's joke, but what are you going to do? Okay, back to Atlanta. Get us into a song pretty quick. Talk to me about Rough Night in Jericho.
I honestly think that one of the greatest bands to come out of Athens was Dream So Real. Although their career didn't maybe last as long as some of these. These guys started out in 1983 after meeting at another record store in Athens, Georgia. Peter Buck produced their first album, And they really became, I think, one of the greatest bands in Athens from the 1980s.
So here you go. Here's Dreams So Real and a great piece of music. Dig this. Rough Night in Jericho. Rock School. Dreams So Real here on Rock School. We celebrate our fifth anniversary on the air with Richard Sheffield with us. Now, when Richard sent me his playlist, meaning what I want to play, there was a group on here called Drive-By Truckers. We've played Drive-By Truckers on this show probably five times before. They're a great rock band. We're going to play Gravity's Gone. The thing is, I've always thought of Drive-By Truckers as being a Northern Alabama group out of, I think, Florence or Muscle Shoals in that general area. Why do you have them on an Athens, Georgia show? They're not from Athens, Georgia. Explain this to me, Richard.
Well, the Truckers are a group that's pretty typical of other groups that relocate to Athens to benefit from the music scene there. Patterson Hood, who leads the Drive-By Truckers, moves to Athens years ago and eventually drags his buddy Mike Cooley, who plays in the Truckers, to Athens right behind him. These guys start playing in the Athens music scene under the name Drive-By Truckers. Although they have great ties back to Northern Alabama, they really are identified as more of an Athens band.
Huh.
Patterson, in fact, so much so that he's actually what you might call the unofficial mayor of Athens these days. He set up a group right now that's fighting a Walmart that wants to be planted right in the middle of this downtown historic district in Athens. And Patterson's really taken up the banner for that. He's also very involved with a charity in Athens that helps out young startup bands called Nusi Space. They provide everything from recording help, management help, even medical care for some of the young musicians in town. Now, the Truckers have a great album that was out called Southern Rock Opera.
Oh, yes.
Which is a rock opera based on, guess who? Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Uh-huh.
And really is a super band. If you ever get a chance to see the Truckers, they're one of the best shows out there. And I think Gravity Gone's a good example of that.
Oh, I think so. I do too. But if you want, once again, give me the name of the nonprofit that Patterson Hood does that helps a startup band if anybody wants to give any money to it. Give it to me one more time.
Nusi Space.
Nusi Space. All right, second break here on Rock School as we drive out of the Drive-By Truckers and Gravity's Gone. Now, since it is a second break and we're not going into a song, I just wanted to sort of ask you a simple, straightforward question, Richard. Look, why Athens, Georgia? Why such success out of this little, you know, this little town? I'm sure it's a great little town. I'm sure it's got a school inside of it. But, you know, so does Hammond, Louisiana, where we're sitting right now. I mean, so does Carbondale, Illinois. So does where I went to school up there in Pennsylvania. But, you know, why this little town? Why such success? I'm sure it's got a little bohemian downtown, some rock clubs. You know, so does Cleveland. Why such success out of Athens, Georgia? Go ahead and wax poetic and let us know.
Well, Athens is one of the greatest college towns in America, I think. 2003, Rolling Stone identified it as being the best college music town on the map. And for those people that get a chance to visit there, it's about 90 minutes outside of Atlanta, east of the city, and has still a relatively small population of about 115,000 as of 2010. I think, first of all, there are three reasons that you've got for the music scene being such a healthy one in Athens and really standing out. First, there's the home of the University of Georgia, my alma mater, Go Dogs.
Oh, boo.
Oh,
come on.
You already squeezed that in there.
Go Dogs.
Woof, woof. So the students are there not only to create the bands, most of the bands we're talking about actually were at one point, these guys were students at Georgia, but they also have the audiences, and in particular, I think the fraternity houses offer places for the bands to play outside of the clubs to pick up some cash on the side. Secondly, you've got these clubs that are set up. So not only the 40 Watt, but there are tons of other clubs like the Georgia Theater that really draw in big crowds and are widely used by the clubs to generate some of their money. And then lastly, you've got a small enough town for bands to be there to support each other. So things like Newsy Space, the charity we mentioned earlier, along with simply just loaning equipment to one another and providing different tips on the songs, allows these bands to come together around them and build up some strength around each other. In fact, if you want to read more about the city of Athens and particularly the music scene, one of the books I would recommend is Party Out of Bounds, written by Roger Lyle Brown. So that's a book I used a lot.
Is Roger Lyle Brown in a band, or is he just an author?
He's a guy that was there kind of in the early years. In fact, his book tells the story of the startups of a lot of these earlier bands in the 1970s and 80s, and is a book that I relied upon as I helped prep for the show.
All right, great.
So basically, Richard, what you're saying is like in the Athens music scene, you have a lot of these bands that are kind of collaborating together. We're trying to make it, but you're also trying to make it. What's ours is yours. What's yours is ours. We're going to help you. You help us. So it's kind of like a musicianship family type atmosphere where everyone kind of helps everyone.
Absolutely. It's almost like an incubator for bands, if you will.
Instead of a fight. Great. We got to take a break here. So thanks, Radio Universidad Salamanca, Spain, for running the radio show.
And WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Good. Back in a minute with more from Athens, Georgia. I keep trying to say Atlanta. My brain will not stop doing it. It's got to be those dirty birds. More with Athens, Georgia music right in a minute. Rock School. This is Rock School, and we are celebrating our fifth year on the air, or the beginning of our fifth year on the air. Richard Sheffield is joining us from Athens, Georgia, or at least joining us from Atlanta, Georgia, talking about Athens, Georgia. Honeysuckle Blue is the song we're going to play by a group called Drivin' and Cryin', and I want you to tell us a story you were telling us off mic about how these guys were saved by a couple other Georgia bands. What's the story?
Well, we mentioned the community that exists within the Athens area for all these different bands. Drivin' and Cryin' was touring this state back in 2010, and while on tour, they ended up having all their equipment stolen out of a trailer that had been connected to one of their trucks. So being stuck on tour without music equipment, kind of a bump for our band, right?
Yeah, that might be considered a little bit of a roadblock.
Well, in steps the Drive-By Truckers and the Allman Brothers, who actually loaned the equipment to Drivin' and Cryin' so they can continue on with their tour. And in fact, if you want more information on that, the band ended up finding one of the guys who was involved in the theft, and they conveniently posted his driver's license on the band website. So you can go back and call that payback, if you will, but you can take a look at the guy who ripped off them with their equipment.
It's still posted?
It's still posted. I mean, you want to talk about vengeance? I mean, that's... So they get the chance to post that up there. In fact, I think it's drivinandcryin.com/thief.
Oh,
wow.
We'll go look at that. Here's Drivin' and Cryin'. Here's Honeysuckle Blue right here on Rock School. All right, last break here on Rock School as we celebrate our 5 years, the beginning of our sixth year on the air as we talk about Athens, Georgia. We just finished playing Drivin' and Cryin', talking about how they put up the driver's license of the guy who ripped off their equipment, and Chad pulled it up on the computer. There it is.
There he is, Reginald Donta Ellis. Right. What is he, about 6'3", 360?
Yep, but...
run into him in an Athens alley at night.
Well, I don't think you could get past him in an Athens alley at night. The good thing about him, as was pointed out by our guest Richard Sheffield, he's an organ donor.
Oh,
he's not all bad.
That nullifies the crime. May have stolen all this musical equipment, but if I need a kidney,
that's right.
That is my guy.
He's big enough, he might have three kidneys.
Look at him.
He's a very large man.
He looks like a brute.
Now, Richard, you wanted to, in our last break, make a point of saying the names of the groups that we are not going to get to play just so they get their name out there. So hit it, brother.
Well, the list of bands coming from Athens is so long that we can't cover them all in the hour we have here. But if you like this music, there's plenty more where it comes from. Olivia Tremor Control, Azure Ray, Love Tractor, The Wigs, The Goons. These are all great bands worth checking out.
Really
show a good diversity in the music scene.
You also sent along somebody called Maria Taylor that I really liked. More poppy than the bands that you sent along that we played today, but Maria Taylor, she was nice.
Yeah, Maria Taylor came from the band Azure Ray, which they were living in Athens for a while, had come out of Alabama. And so those two artists, both her as a solo artist and Azure Ray, kind of a really different sound. If Pink Floyd doesn't leave you depressed enough and you're looking for something for even more depressing, check out his gray.
Nice. Now, I have a quick question here. I think we're going to end on Of Montreal, correct?
Yes.
Which is a fine, fine band. I actually love listening to them. I had no idea that they were an Athens, Georgia band because I, like a goofball, assumed that they came from Canada.
Of Montreal.
Well, there is a tie-in, Chad. The band name actually comes from a failed romance with a woman from Montreal, so there definitely is a tie-in to Quebec, but alas, they live in Georgia.
Alas. Well, we're out of time.
So,
we're wrapping it up.
Tie-in.
Yeah, we are wrapping it up. Hey, Richard, thank you for doing this. We tried an experiment, and I think it flew a little bit here, so we're going to send you back to Atlanta via Skype, and we're going to have to wrap it up, so thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Richard.
Great pleasure, guys. Happy 5th anniversary.
Thank you so much.
That's going to wrap it up. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Class is dismissed.